5.
Kof Zayin Shvat, Monday the 12th of February, Rabbi Yosef Greenwald, Mishkan, outer structure, inner meaning. Pashas Truma, and there's a structure. Title of the shiur was the outer structure, the inner meaning. The structure of the Pashas that we're engaged in, that we're involved in, the Pashas that we read in the Torah every week are not just there to inform us, but they're there to uplift us. They're there to give structure to all the points of our life. And the parshas that have preceded this week's parsha, Parsha Truma, are called Parsha Shoivim. These are the parshas, the Svarim tell us, these are the weeks that are a Yid is engaged in building his inner world of Kedusha, his inner world of sanctity, his inner world of all of us have to leave our own personal Mitzrayim. We go through the Shibud of Mitzrayim, we strive, we yearn, we go out of Mitzrayim, we go through Kriyas Yamsuf, and the ultimate end goal, like the Ramban tells us, that the reason why, even though the Sefer of Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula, and the Geula L'chor was finished as soon as Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, they were free men. As soon as there's a proclamation of independence, that's it. They're free men. They went out of Mitzrayim already. The Mitzrayim are never going to threaten them anymore. But the Ramban tells us that the ultimate freedom of Klal Yisrael is only when they build the Mishkan. That's why these parashas, the end of the Sefer, deal with the building of the Mishkan, the building of the Kelim in the Mishkan, the setting up of the Mokoyim, which was to be the resting ground of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. That's what these parashas are about. The Ramban says, this is the finale of the Sefer Gula. So when we learn the parashas of Truma Tetzave, Kisisa Vayakob Kude, what we're really doing is we're discovering the inner essence of what makes us. The Mishkan wasn't just an isolated building on a hilltop, a majestic building, but nevertheless only a building. It wasn't just a structure on a hilltop in Yerushalayim, we should all be there soon. It wasn't just a place, a physical place, but it was to be a microcosm of the world of Shleimus, which is to be found potentially, and Amir Tzashem, as life unfolds, and as we find our potential, the Mokoyim, which is inside of us, is really all mirrored, the battery, so to speak, the energy source of the Hashros Hashchina, which is to be found, Besoich, like Rav Chaim Volozhin says, V'shochanti Besoicham Besoich Kol Echod Ve'echod. The Mokoyim of Hashros Hashchina, which is to be found in each and every single one of us, finds its source, its spiritual energy source in the Mishkan. So what we have to do is, when we learn the parashas of the Mishkan, what we have to do is we have to try to discover the parallels, not just to learn about the Mishkan that was, and the Beis HaMikdash that will be, but to try to discover in the structure and the makeup, the physical presence of that building, of that Mishkan, to try to find the inner meaning that makes us tick, that makes the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan that's inside of us, turn us into places that are royal Hashros Hashem. So let's try to find some structure that will help us discover the inner world that really lies, the Mishkan, that lies inside each and every one of us. We know that the Melechus HaMishkan, what's interesting is in Parshas Kisisa, it's really not this week's Parsha, but in Kisisa and Pekudei, there's a juxtaposition between Melechus HaMishkan and between the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah and again mitzvah on keeping the Melachos of Shabbos. The Torah tells us, puts together Melachos HaMishkan together with Melachos Shabbos. The Gemara learns out that that is the basis of what we call Lamites Melachos. The Melachos, that which, and that's really the structure of all of Hilchos Shabbos as we know it and practice it on a weekly basis, is those acts of creative building that we use to build the structure of the Mishkan, to create, use the different processes, the agricultural process, the process of creating the curtains around the Mishkan, and so on, building taking apart, dismantling, putting together the Mishkan again. All those processes that we use to creatively build the Mishkan are there in our lives every single week in Hilchos Shabbos. And the question is, why is the building of the Mishkan, what does that have to do with the building of the Mishkan with Shabbos? And the answer is, the Sforim explained to us, Svasemis, Rav Tzodek, comes from the Maral, Rav Chaim Volozhiner discusses this, that's where we are mostly sourced in for the next few minutes. Rav Chaim Volozhiner explains that the world of the Mishkan, again, like we just said, wasn't just the building of a building. The building of the Mishkan was actually, the building of that which created the world as a place that would be worthy of finding, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence would find a worthy home. The building of the Mishkan, if we would want to say it like that, is a microcosm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's process of building the world itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world in Parshas Bereishis, the world as we know it, the world that was created in 6 days and six nights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that world. Now obviously the HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't build it the way we build this structure made of wood with a hammer and nails. HaKadosh Baruch Hu oimer v'oise, v'yoymer Hashem, yihi or, v'yoymer lakim yihi or, v'yihi or. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it and it came to be. When we build, we have to build with physical, with our hands, we have to build with physical material. We can't build with just an amir. But the world that was created in 6 days, what we do on Shabbos is we cease from all malacha, which would be, what we do is we recognize that all that was created is perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source, the power, the inspiration, and the purpose of all creation. And therefore Shabbos, we bear testimony to that process of creation by seizing all forms of building activity. The question is, what's called building? Maybe moving a table from place to place is called building. So Chazal give us a signpost. They say, when you want to know what building looks like in our terms, what you have to do is you have to look at another place where man was designated to build the world in total, where man was given the opportunity to build a total construct, a total edifice of reality, a total edifice, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the universe, the galaxies, and so on. All that which was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with the process of Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, when we want to know how we mirror, what's included, which processes, which creative activities are part of that process, what we do is we look at the place where man was given an opportunity to build, the only place in the history of the world, until Mashiach comes, that we know of where man was given the opportunity to build in total a structure which would mirror the whole of creation, was the building of the Mishkan. What we have to do is we have to translate that which was used in the Mishkan into the reality of that which we built. So, that's how we have the melachos of the Mishkan. That's the general idea. Melachos of the Mishkan translate into building of the universe, and that's what we're mitzvah not to do on Shabbos. What's interesting is, this is always, Chazal always give us a hint of a deeper meaning with their finely tuned language. Chazal don't tell us that there are 39 melachos. We know that, you know, the book in English is called the 39 melachos. The Lashon of the Mishnah in Shabbos is not 39 melachos. It's Arboim Choser Achas. Now, it's a great way to teach math, you know, when you're trying to teach plus, 39 plus 1, 40 minus 1, but it's, Chazal don't talk that way. What does it mean that the melachos of Shabbos are 40 minus 1? And by the way, when a Yid, Achmon and son, if a Yid does an Aveir with Hasro, and he's punished with the Oynish of Malkis, the Torah calls it over the Arboim Yakenu. Lashes, he receives the Oynish of Malkis, 40 lashes. And Chazal say, it's not 40, it's 39. Maramakis discusses Barichos, how we learn out, but the Lashon of the Pasuk is 40, and it means 39. Why is 40 and 39? Why is 40 minus 1? Well, why don't we talk straight about 39? Why don't we just say 39? And the reason for that is because the reality of building the universe really has 40 melachos. The reality of building the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu built it, Vayoymer Elekim, Yihi Or, and so on and so forth, all the different parts of the structure of creation, were really 40. There's one melacha which, even though it's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's process, but it can't be part of our process. Meaning, say, on an intellectual level, There are 40 melachas of Shabbos. There's one that we're not mitzvah. That's the melacha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, before there was matter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's called Yesh Me'ayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took nothingness and he turned it into something. After that, there was already the raw material. Bereishis Bara Alekimus HaShemayim HaSoz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the Ramban says in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, all of the raw matter that was to be used over 6 days to form, to create, to create all the different parts of the universe, that is all Yesh Me'yesh. He took matter and he took that and he formed that into different parts of the natural, physical, celestial world. All that is Yesh Me'yesh. That we could mirror, because we could also, we could take wood, we could take clay, we could take nails, bolts, pieces of metal, and we could turn that into something intelligent. We could turn that into something with a constructive design. But what we can't do, what we're not capable of, is Yesh Me'ayin. We cannot create something from nothing. So in reality, intellectually, the melachos of Shabbos are 40. So the Chazal tell us the melachos of Shabbos are 40 minus 1. Because physically, we're only commanded not to do 39 melachos. That's the lashon of the Mishnah in Shabbos. And now let's try to delve a little bit deeper into what that 40 is. Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner, in his classic Nefesh HaChaim, discusses the unfolding of the Bria, and he discusses how that mirrors itself in the parts of the world that we live in the world that we live, the world that we struggle to perfect, our inner world. The world of Hashras Hashkan, the world of the Mishkan, is the world inside all of us. We're not trying to fix the world. L'sakin Adam v'malchus Shakai, to fix the world means all of us have to try to fix ourselves. And from there it spills over, and we have an influence on our families, on our neighbors, and so forth. And by the way, I'd like to add in, when we're talking about where we have a chance to mirror HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His process of creation in its most sublime form, there's only one place in a person's existence where he can create Yesh Me'yesh. A person can be a construction engineer and he could be capable of designing the most magnificent skyscraper. But at the end of the day, it's only Yesh Me'yesh. You have to start with raw materials, you have to start with metal. The metal, even if you're the mining company that takes it out of the ground, it still is in the ground. It's still a Yesh Me'yesh. There's only one place in a person's world, actually two, but they're really conceptually the same, where a person is capable of creating Yesh Me'ayin. One is every time a person has the schus to bring a neshama, a Jewish child, into this world. What he's done is he's created a Yesh Me'ayin. At that point of creation, he is capable of connecting himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the builder of the universe in its most sublime form. He's created Yesh Me'yesh. That's why parenthood is such a powerful experience. Sorry?
Yesh Me'ayin.
I'm sorry, he's created Yesh Me'ayin. The reason why that, the process of being a parent, is really the place where in our own personal lives we come closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is because we mirror the shleimus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's process of building the world in its most sublime and most magnificent form. But there's another place also, and that's what we're doing here in this Beis Medrash, in this kinus of people that are here to be mevakshei Torah. Every time a person comes to a deeper understanding of a piece of Torah, every time a person, Chiddush HaTorah doesn't mean that a person writes a sefer that's distributed the world over. Chiddush HaTorah, Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner explains to us, is every time, every single person thinks differently, and two people, there's never going to be two people in the world, same way two people, three Jews, there's always four opinions. There's never going to be a time when there are two people sitting around the same piece of Gemara, the same Tosfos, the same Vort and Chumash, and they'll understand it exactly the same. It has to be that way. Every single person's mind was created a little bit different. Same way everybody's face is a little bit different. Everybody's mind. The Gemara says that Kishem Sheparzufeim Enim Shavim, Kachdeyeseim Enim Shavim. Every time a person reaches his understanding with his mind, with his mental koiches of any area of Torah, and that's called Chiddush HaTorah, what he's done is he's brought a new and profound understanding. He's brought a piece of Torah into the world, and that is a Yesh Me'ayin. At that point, a person becomes the closest intellectually that Shaykh to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The closest place where a person mirrors his Creator, the place where he's most connected with the Rabbanu Shalom in its most sublime form, is when a person is Zaychah to understand a piece of Torah. Because at that point he's created something which is not yesh mi yesh. He's created something which is yesh me'ayin. That's something to take. Every time we sit down by a chumash, every time we sit down by a gemara, that's something to take with us. We are possessed with the power of creating a total reality yesh me'ayin. At that point we become one. We become fused with our maker. We become fused with the Almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Kiviyoch. As much as is humanly possible on our level. That's something to inspire us every morning when we sit down and learn Torah. But let's go a little bit deeper the way Reb Chaim Volozhiner says. Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains that the number 40 really is the number 10 times 4. And he explains that every single reality, every single spiritual dynamic, really it's every physical dynamic, but every single spiritual, every single dynamic in this world which has meaning, which has structure, which has a purpose, a sense of purpose, and it was created for something, really has four stages of existence. We'll call this, we'll take as an example, every time a person does something, a person, let's say, does a ma'isa of chesed, or let's say, for a simple example, a person does a ma'isa mitzvah. A person picks up a lulav, and is mekayim the mitzvah. In its most simple sense, the mitzvah of taking a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, lokachtem lochem b'yom rishon, you pick up the lulav and the esrog, you pick it up, you yotze the mitzvah. That's it. You pick it up. It's a purely physical activity. Chazal HaKadoshim have taught us that any mitzvah a person does, what he does is he adds what we call the koyach hadibur to the ma'isa. Instead of just doing the physical act with his hands, which is the way it's prescribed in the Torah, lokachem lochem, is something you do with your hands, not with your mouth. But what we do is we say a brocha, and that brocha adds the spiritual energy of what we call koyach hadibur to the ma'isa that he's doing. Now, if we're connected with the mitzvah in a more powerful and a more intimate way, so then not only are we saying Hashem's name and adding that to the mitzvah, we're not only picking up the lulav, we're not only saying Asher Kedushon V'mitzvos V'tzivanu, and we're designating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name on the act of picking up the lulav, but what we've done is we've also added our mental focus that we're doing what we're doing, the Shem Mitzvah, we're doing what we're doing because the Rebbeinu Shem commanded us to take this lulav. We're adding our mental, what we call the Olam HaMachshava. Every single person is a whole world. Every single person is a microcosm of all of reality. The reality of everything we do, like we're saying, has ma'isa, has dibur, and has machshava. We want to say, in a person, there's really three parts. There's the physical part of a person, that which is represented by the lower part of a person's body, and that's not, by the way, we're not talking over here about something that's not ruchnius. We're talking here about ruchnius. A person can only do mitzvahs if he has two hands and feet. A person can only do mitzvahs if he has the physical capacity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what we do is we try to build something that goes deeper and deeper in terms of layers of meaning and the meaning that it has for us. So we have the physical act of everything we do. Every time we help a person, every time we help somebody across the street, every time we say a kind word. Everything we do is composed of layers. Imagine, let's say somebody goes into, somebody comes home and one of the children needs help in the morning. At night, helping the children go to sleep. Maybe some of the people over here occasionally help out with grandchildren. Looks like, I'll give an example from my own life. But what we're talking about is, we're talking about adding emotional. A person's physical world is augmented, bolstered. It's deeper when it's augmented by the emotional world that he lives in. That is mirrored, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, the emotional capacity to feel, to express, to speak, to connect, is called Olam HaDibur. On a deeper level, a person adds his creative intellectual ability, that's called Olam HaMachshava. So we have Maisa, we have Dibur, and we have Machshava. But there's something more profound. On a profounder, on a more profound level, beyond the world of Maisa, Dibur, and Machshava, we have the world, the inner drive that powers a person. Every creative thought, every intellectual thought in a person's mind is powered by a wanting. A person thinks about, let's take an example. A person's in the construction business, and he decides to build a certain structure. That's the physical of what he's doing. Beyond that, he has to speak about it, he has to plan, he has to call the staff, he has to be on the phone constantly, and he has to connect with the people around him to share his vision of what he wants. That's dibur. Beyond that, there's his thought process, there's the drawing up the blueprint, and there's the thought process that gives clarity. If a person doesn't have a clear thought process, he's just doing, if there's no structured thought process behind the doing, there's just going to be chaos. There's not going to be anything constructive going on. But there's something deeper than that. What drives the person who's building the edifice to build that edifice in the first place? Is it the building, or is it a sense of purpose? It's a sense of needing to put his imprint, put his mark on the world around him. It could be a sense of betterment, a sense of wanting the world to be a better place than it is. It could be a sense of beauty. He wants to aesthetically improve the landscape of the world around him. There are many different koichos, there are many different inner yearnings, inner drives, inner needs that will power an intellectual process of creativity. Hatzara Shava Shebehem is that every time a person engages in some type of intellectual construction, there's always something deeper beyond. That's the fourth level. So what we have is, again, we have Olam HaMaisa. We have, that's all, the inner meaning behind that is the emotional drive that powers that Maisa. That's called Dibur. And that's the lev. Speech comes from the middle of the body, comes from the throat, from the heart, from the lungs. That's that's not the lower part of the person, that's the middle part of the person. The head is the Olam HaMachshava. But deep beyond that is what we call the neshama, that's already the deeper part of a person, that's the Olam HaRotzeh. And those four parts of every construct, every maisa that's done, every edifice that's created, every act that's perpetuated, any connection that one forms, any relationship, any engagement that a person has, always is composed of these four parts. Those who Chaim Volozhiner explain on a deeper level really mirror the process that we're talking about. Let's go back to what we were speaking about. The number 40 that we're talking about, which is the number of creation, the number of creating a total reality, a total structure, a total edifice, a total sense of purpose when it's broken down, is really not the number 40. It's really 4 times 10. The 10, as we know, is how HaKadosh Baruch created the world. We open up Rashi, and Rashi says, Basar is really not Rashi. The Mishnah in Ovos, Basoro Mamorois Nivra Ha'olam. The Rebbeinu Shem created the world with a total structure of 10 emanations of his presence. And that, by the way, is mirrored when Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim. The process of peeling and peeling and peeling back the layers of Teva, of superficiality, where the Mitzrayim created a world of Mi Hashem, like Paro said. Who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyways? The world just runs round based on the forces of Teva. In order to peel that back, to be able to see the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu underneath it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu peeled that back again with Asoro Makas that were done in Mitzrayim. He peeled layer after layer. And by the way, Bereshis Bara Elokim, the 10 levels, go backwards when we get to Bereshis Bara Elokim, is the last, B'ni B'chor Yisol, which is also Reishis, is the last, because that was the last level. You know, when you cover something over, so you put on, let's say you want to give somebody a present, you put on 10 layers of gift wrapping, the top one comes off first. Bereshis Bara Elokim is the innermost, is the first wrapping around the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, was peeled off the last. The second, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, is the second Makas Choshech. It's really a parallel process. Goes forth, it goes back. The same thing was true in Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael finally received Rotzen HaBoyri in unadulterated form, they stood by HaSinai, Asoro Mamoris, the same Asoro Mamoris, the Rebbeinu Shem created the world, he also gave the Torah in 10 Mamoris. So the Mishkan, which was the totality of creation, which was the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence itself, was really 10, like we just said, but times 4. Why? Because since it had to mirror a total construct of every ability for a person to affect, to be affected, it had to create a total person. So the same way the levels of every single human endeavor, every single human achievement, have 4, like we said, Maisa, Dibur, Makshova, and the most innermost level is Rotzon, that process had to be expressed also on 10 times 4. Let's use another parallel. A person lives in a world, and by the way, this is the Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that these are the four letters of Shem Hashem, Yud, Ke, Vov, Ke. The He, which is has a more finite expression, He, has an eerie inside. It has more physical grounds. That He really echoes El Mamaisa. The Vov that comes before that He, the third letter of Shem Hashem, which doesn't have four sides, but it definitely has a physical presence because it's spreads itself out, is Dibur. Dibur also has physical presence, even though it's not a physical koyach. Dibur is something that's only, the animals don't have koyach at Dibur. But it does have physical presence, that's the vote. The hay before that is because a person constructs in his mind, he constructs a world, the structure that a person creates with his hands, he envisions with his mind, so that's that first hay. And the yud, which is only a conceptual point, it's a little letter, it's a conceptual point. That's that nekuda, that burning ambition, that yearning, that sets a person on the road to intellectual, emotional, physical completion. We'll take one last place where we find this expressed. And this is really, you know, we're talking over here on levels of intellectual understanding of what the Mishkan represented, what the Mishkan represents, and what the Mishkan, Yemiyetz Hashem, when the third base of Mikdash will be built, will represent. But let's find, B'mehar V'yameinu, let's find a place in our lives where we could most mirror that. We discussed learning, we discussed parenthood, we discussed raising families. But the place where this process unfolds the most, every single time a Yid walks into his own home. As we know, a Yiddish home, a Jewish home is a Mishkan. V'shachanti b'soichem, every single Jewish dwelling, every single home where there's a Jewish family living is a Mokum HaShuas HaShchina. And there's really four parts to the Mishkan. There are four parts of the Mishkan, there are four parts to a Yiddish home. The four parts of the Mishkan were the outermost place where everybody gathered. It wasn't necessarily the place of Avodah, it was called Ezras Noshim, that's where they came to be seen, to be inspired, to be warmed. They came there for the Simchas Beis Sheva. The inner part was the Azara. Over there, Yid could only go if he was properly cleansed of all tumah. He had to be prepared emotionally for the sight of the avoda. That was the azara. The further inward was the place where only the kahanim were able to go. Only the kahanim were only able to go only for the specific task of doing the lighting the menorah, the taking off of the lechem aponim, and so on. And then there was the place which was totally off grounds. The place which was totally sacrosanct. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, where only the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, after extensive preparation, was able to go in for a few chosen moments to be together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity, and that's that four. Because that deepest place, which is shy to a person's innermost yearnings in this world, is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the outer place, we're all Kahanim, we all serve. In that place, that's the Olam Ha, the place of intellectuality. We are the people of creative intellectuality. That's every Jew has that experience to be a Kohen in his own intellectual world. Emotionally, the place where everybody was together to serve, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be warmed by the fire of the Karbonis, to be warmed by the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, was the Azara, that's the world of emotion. And the world of Maisa, where everybody just was. Yidden just came to be part, to see, to be seen, to be part of this spectacle of being part of Am Yisrael, that place, that's the world of Maisa. Every time a Yid walks into his house, this is, I think, what we have to walk away from this parsha with, a Yid walks into the same construct. There's the outermost, a Jewish home is a welcoming place. We invite in guests, we have people come for tzedakah, for mitzvahs, we get together with others, but that's really the outermost poor part of our house. That's the Olam Maisa, where we do mitzvahs, where we're engaged with the community, where we take part in the world that's around us. Inside, a little bit further inside, we'll call that, let's say, in my English terminology, we'll call that the living room, the outermost portion of the house. Further inward is the salon, is the dining room, the place where we together dine with family. We invite guests, but we invite guests in as part of the family. That place is already more limited. It's already for select people that are invited. That place mirrors the Azara. That place is already the world of emotion. It's a place where we sit with our families, we sing Zmiris, we share our experiences, we share our enthusiasm for life, our joy in being part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chosen nation. That's the dining room. That's the world of dibur, the world of emotion. Inner more is the world where creation, where intellectual creativity, everybody can go home and tell their wives, the place where the world of intellectual creativity, where it's really for select groups, we'll call that the kitchen. That's the place where the outer part of the house is powered, right? Behind every successful dining room, there has to be a successful kitchen. The place that's most inside the house is actually a pasuk in the Novi. The Novi, when he talks about the Kodesh Kodeshim, calls it the Cheder Amitos. The place that's most miyuchad, the place that's off grounds, the place that's sacrosanct, is the innermost place, which is called the Cheder Amitos. Every Jewish home has the construction of the Shem Hashem, of the Yud Kei Vovkei, these four parts of the Mishkan. Which means that this parsha is really not just speaking to us on intellectual terms. This parsha is really giving us a blueprint for our own lives. This parsha is really giving us a construct, a bird's eye view of what our life is supposed to look like in total. The Rebbe Shem should give us this clue. All of us should be zeichet to build, continue building, and be built by the possibility of Ashuras Hashkina in our lives and the lives of our family around us. And we should all be zeichet to see the total structure of the Mishkan, of the Beis HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim HaKadosh, from here to Amen.